A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us tier 9 of the inventory series. Sealants, fillers, and repair compounds. And the hook is brutal. You seal a bathroom gap with silicone, paint over it, and watch the paint peel off in a week. That's the cost of using the wrong product for the job. Most people own exactly one tube of silicone and a tub of spackle, which is wrong for about 80% of jobs. Daniel wants us to build a practical inventory. Distinguish sealing a moving joint from filling a static hole from reconstructing missing material, and keep the whole thing rental apartment friendly.
The core problem is that these five tasks look the same when you're staring at a gap in the wall, but the chemistry demands are completely different. A sealant needs to flex. A filler needs to stay rigid and sandable. A repair compound needs to actually replace missing material with something structural. And waterproofing needs to keep water out while the joint keeps moving. If you use a rigid filler in a crack that's still shifting, it cracks immediately. If you use silicone on a porous surface and then paint it, the paint peels because silicone is non-porous. Paint has nothing to grip. If you use expanding foam around a window frame without accounting for expansion pressure, the frame bows and the window won't close. These aren't cosmetic failures, they're physics failures.
The mental model is, sealants flex, fillers don't, repair compounds rebuild, and the product label won't always tell you which category it's actually in.
Let's start with sealants. The big one everyone knows is silicone, but there are at least four types worth distinguishing. Sanitary silicone is the one with the vinegar smell. That's the acetic acid cure. It's mold resistant because it contains fungicides, and is designed for wet areas like showers and around sinks. But you cannot paint it. Silicone is non-porous. Paint physically cannot adhere. If you need a paintable seal for a bathroom gap that won't see standing water, you want acrylic caulk, not silicone.
The vinegar smell isn't just a quirk. It's telling you the cure chemistry. Acetic acid cure means it releases acetic acid as it cures, which can corrode certain metals.
That's why neutral cure silicone exists. It's non-corrosive to metals and acrylics, so it's safer for shower trays with metal brackets or for sealing around aluminium window frames. It doesn't smell like vinegar. It's usually an alcohol-based cure. If you're sealing something with metal components, you want neutral cure. General-purpose silicone is the compromise product. It's cheaper, but rarely the best choice for any specific job. It might have some mold resistance, but not as much as sanitary grade, and it might be paintable, but usually isn't.
The silicone hierarchy is sanitary for wet areas where you'll never paint, neutral cure for metal and acrylic, general purpose for I'm not sure what. The drawer that holds the other two?
General purpose is the product you buy when you don't know what you need, and then you discover it was the wrong choice 6 months later when the mold shows up. Which brings us to acrylic caulk. Water-based, paintable, and the right choice for gaps that don't see standing water. It's what you use between skirting boards and walls, around door frames, anywhere you're going to paint over it. Decorator's caulk is a finer version of the same thing. It shrinks more than silicone, but it's designed to be painted and sanded lightly. For cosmetic gap filling before painting, it's the standard.
Then there's the product that Daniel flagged, that I think is genuinely underrated. Hybrid polymer sealant. The MS polymer stuff.
This is the Swiss Army knife of sealants. Hybrid polymer bonds to damp surfaces. You can apply it to a wet substrate and it still adheres. It's paintable. It remains flexible. It doesn't shrink as much as acrylic. It's solvent-free, so it doesn't stink out the room. For a rental apartment where you might need one sealant that does almost everything except stand up to constant submersion, hybrid polymer is the answer. The downside is cost. It's more expensive than silicone or acrylic, and formulation varies wildly between brands. Stick to known MS polymer-based products from Sika, Dow, or similar.
Then there's polyurethane sealant, which sounds terrifying.
Polyurethane is the heavy-duty option. It bonds to almost everything. Concrete, wood, metal, you name it. It's extremely strong and flexible, but it's toxic during application. It contains isocyanates, which can cause respiratory sensitization. You need serious ventilation or a respirator. It's hard to tool smoothly because it's thick and sticky, and you can't paint it with water-based paints. This is for outdoor construction joints, not for touching up the caulk around your bathroom mirror. Butyl sealant is another specialist. It's that sticky, never fully cures stuff used on gutters and RV roofs. It's not for indoor use. It off-gasses and it's messy beyond belief.
For a rental apartment, the sealant shortlist is really sanitary silicone, paintable acrylic cork, and maybe one cartridge of hybrid polymer for the tricky jobs. Polyurethane and butyl are deep inventory, project-specific.
Let's talk expanding foam, because this is where people do real damage. Standard expanding foam expands with significant force. If you squirt it around a window frame, it can bow the frame inward so the window won't open. Low expansion foam is specifically formulated for window and door frames. It expands gently and fills the gap without applying destructive pressure. The rule is simple. Low expansion for frames, standard for large cavity filling like around pipe penetrations. And here's a critical tip most people don't know. Expanding foam needs moisture to cure. Spray the surface with water before application and it cures faster and more completely.
That explains why foam jobs in dry climates sometimes stay gummy for days.
Also, foam cannot be painted directly. UV light degrades it. If it's exposed to sunlight, you need to cover it or paint it with something that blocks UV. And the cans clog after first use. The foam cures inside the nozzle and the straw, and you can't clear it. You either use the entire can in one project, or you accept that you're buying a new can next time. There are cans with reusable nozzles now, but they're not common.
Expanding foam is firmly in the buy only for an active project category. Don't stock it.
Now let's move to fillers, the stuff that fills holes and doesn't need to flex. The most common is lightweight spackle. It dries fast, sands easily, and shrinks. That shrinkage is the key limitation. Spackle is for small nail holes, nothing deeper than about a quarter inch. If you fill a deeper hole with spackle, it shrinks as it dries, cracks, and you're doing it again. For anything deeper, you want joint compound or plaster repair compound.
Joint compound is what you use for drywall tape and screw dimples. It's designed for multiple thin coats.
Joint compound comes as a powder you mix or as a ready-mix tub. The powder lasts years if kept dry. The ready-mix tub dries out once opened unless you're careful. Press plastic wrap directly onto the surface before sealing the lid and it'll last longer. Joint compound shrinks less than spackle and is much stronger, but it takes longer to dry between coats. For a rental apartment, a small packet of powder joint compound is the smart stock. Mix what you need, store the rest dry.
Then there's plaster repair compound for older buildings with lime plaster.
Interior plaster repair compound sets chemically rather than just drying out, which means it's harder to sand but much stronger. If you've got a chipped corner on a plaster wall, spackle will fail. It'll shrink and crack. Plaster repair compound is the right product. It's also what you use for deeper holes in masonry before plastering over. Cementitious repair compound is the outdoor and wet area version. It's hydraulic setting, meaning it cures even in damp conditions. For concrete steps, exterior walls, or anywhere that might get wet, this is the product.
What about wood? Daniel mentioned wood filler and two-part wood repair.
Wood filler is for small holes and cracks in painted wood. It stains poorly, so it's best for surfaces you're going to paint. It's not structural. Don't use it to rebuild a rotted windowsill corner. For that, you want two-part wood repair, which is epoxy-based. It's structural, you can shape it, drill into it, sand it. It's for reconstructing missing wood, not just filling a nail hole. The two-part epoxy versions are much stronger than the solvent-based wood fillers.
Epoxy putty is the universal repair compound, right? The stuff that looks like a stick of two-color clay you knead together?
Epoxy putty is remarkable. It sticks to metal, plastic, ceramic, wood, concrete, almost everything. It cures underwater. Once cured, it can be drilled, sanded, tapped, and painted. It's the product that rescues you when a pipe has a pinhole leak at 2 in the morning and the hardware store is closed. JB Weld is the famous brand, and for good reason. Cheap epoxy putty sticks often don't cure properly or don't develop full strength. For something you're counting on in an emergency, buy the known brand.
There's metal repair putty, specifically steel-filled epoxy for radiator leaks or cast iron.
Metal repair putty has metal powder mixed into the epoxy, so it can handle higher temperatures and has a thermal expansion coefficient closer to metal. for a radiator leak or a cracked engine block. Not that most renters are dealing with engine blocks, it's the right product. Plastic repair compounds are trickier because plastic adhesion varies wildly. ABS, PVC, polypropylene. Each needs a different chemistry. Check the label carefully. Some plastic repair epoxies work on multiple plastics, but none works on all of them.
Tile and grout. Daniel mentioned grout versus flexible grout repair.
Grout is cementitious or epoxy-based, and it's for filling the joints between tiles. It's rigid and porous. Water can soak through it. That's why you use sealant, not grout, at change of plane corners where movement happens. If you grout the corner where two walls meet in a shower, it'll crack. Flexible grout repair is polymer modified. It has some give, so it's better for floors with underfloor heating or areas with vibration. But it's still not a sealant. The rule is, grout between tiles on the same plane, sealant at corners, and where tile meets a different material.
We've established that sealants and fillers are not interchangeable. Let's go deep on the rental apartment specifics. Filling screw holes, repairing chipped plaster, sealing around sinks.
For screw and anchor holes in drywall or plaster, the product depends on depth. Nail holes and small screw holes. Lightweight spackle, one fill, sand flush, touch-up paint. Done in an hour. For larger anchor holes, you want joint compound applied in two thin coats because it shrinks less. The mistake people make is filling a deep anchor hole with spackle, painting it while it's still shrinking, and then the paint sinks into a dimple a week later.
Chipped plaster corners?
Plaster repair compound. Spackle will shrink and crack in anything deeper than a quarter inch. Plaster repair compound sets chemically, doesn't shrink significantly, and can be built up in layers. For a chipped corner, you might need to build it up in two or three applications, sanding between each. It's more work, but it actually lasts.
Sealing around sinks and baths. This is where the rental deposit lives or dies.
Sanitary silicone, applied as a thin, neat bead. The thin bead matters because if you ever need to remove the sink or redo the seal, a thick bead is a nightmare to cut out. And here's the critical mistake. Never apply new silicone over old, failed, or moldy silicone. The new sealant won't bond to it. You have to remove the old sealant completely. Scrape it out, clean the surface with isopropyl alcohol, make sure it's dry, then apply the new bead. If there's mold behind the old sealant, it'll grow through the new sealant. You're not sealing it in. You're giving it a nice, moist environment to keep growing.
The process is remove, clean, dry, mask, apply, tool, cure. Skipping any step and you're doing it again in 6 months.
Masking tape is the secret to a professional-looking bead. Tape both sides of the joint, apply the sealant, tool it smooth with a wet finger or a caulking tool, then pull the tape immediately before the sealant skins over. You get a perfectly straight line. Caulking tools, those little silicone profiling tools, are worth the few dollars they cost. They give you a consistent profile and keep sealant off your fingers.
Backer rod. Daniel mentioned this for larger joints.
Backer rod is closed, cell foam rod you push into a gap before sealing. The rule is, if the gap is deeper than a quarter inch, use backer rod. Sealant needs to bond to two sides of the joint, not three. If it bonds to the back of the joint too, it can't flex properly and it tears. Backer rod prevents three-sided adhesion and also means you use less sealant. It's cheap, it never expires, and generic foam rod is identical to branded. Stock and assortment.
Let's talk about the stuff that seals threads. PTFE tape, thread sealing cord, pipe joint compound.
PTFE tape is the white tape you wrap around threaded pipe fittings. It fills the microscopic gaps in the threads and lubricates them so you can tighten properly. Generic PTFE tape is fine. There's no meaningful difference between cheap and branded for standard household plumbing. It never expires. Keep three rolls. Thread sealing cord is a newer alternative. It's a string impregnated with sealant that you wrap around threads. It's more forgiving than tape because you don't have to wrap in the right direction and it fills larger gaps better. Thread sealing paste or pipe joint compound is a brush-on paste for metal pipe threads. It's messier than tape but provides a better seal on older or damaged threads. For most household jobs, PTFE tape is sufficient. The cord and paste are deep inventory items.
We've covered the products. Now let's talk about how to actually use them. Application technique, storage, and the mistakes that waste money.
Surface preparation is everything. Clean with isopropyl alcohol, it degreases and evaporates completely. Remove all failed material. If you're dealing with a previously sealed joint, scrape out every bit of old sealant. Dry the surface thoroughly. Sealant applied to a damp surface might look fine initially, but will fail early, unless it's hybrid polymer, which is designed for damp application.
Cure time varies dramatically. Spackle might be sandable in an hour. Silicone skins over in about 30 minutes, but takes 24 hours to fully cure. Some polyurethanes take 7 days.
The mistake people make is painting over filler before it's fully dry. The moisture gets trapped, the paint bubbles or fails, and you're sanding it all off and starting again. Read the cure time on the package and believe it. For sanding, use a sanding sponge. It conforms to surfaces better than paper. Wear an N95 mask. Vacuum the dust, don't just brush it around. And don't sand into the surrounding paint. Feather the edges of the filler so it blends, but stop before you're scuffing up the painted wall around it.
Storage is where most products die before they're used. What actually lasts?
Unopened silicone lasts 12 to 18 months. Once opened, the nozzle skins over in hours. You can store a partially used cartridge by leaving a screw in the nozzle tip. The silicone skins around the screw and seals the rest, or use reusable cartridge caps. But even with caps, open silicone has a limited life. Spackle dries out in the tub. Press plastic wrap directly onto the surface, then seal the lid. Or better yet, buy the small tubs. Powder fillers like Joint Compound last year's have kept dry. PTFE tape never expires. Epoxy putty cures in the package if exposed to heat. Store it somewhere cool and dark. Expanding foam cans clog after first use. Use the whole can or accept the loss.
The products most likely to expire unused are expanding foam, epoxy putty stored in a hot cupboard, silicone cartridges open for one small job, and spackle tubs left with the lid loose.
That informs the inventory strategy. For products that expire, buy small formats or only for active projects. For products that last, stock them.
Where can you buy cheap, and where do brands matter?
PTFE tape, cheap is fine. Backer rod, cheap is fine. Spackle for nail holes. Cheap is acceptable, though it shrinks more. But sanitary silicone, cheap brands lose mold resistance within 3 months. The fungicide package in branded formulations from Dow, Sika, or GE is better and lasts 2 years or more. Hybrid polymer, formulation varies wildly, stick to known MS polymer brands. Epoxy putty, cheap sticks don't cure properly, use JB Weld or equivalent. For a product you're counting on to stop a leak or hold a repair together, the brand premium is worth it.
Safety. What should people actually worry about?
Polyurethane sealants and some expanding foams contain isocyanates. These can cause respiratory sensitization, meaning each exposure makes you more sensitive, and eventually even tiny amounts trigger a reaction. Use them in a well-ventilated area or wear a respirator with organic vapor cartridges. Epoxy can cause skin sensitization over time. Wear nitrile gloves, not latex, because epoxy penetrates latex. Sanding fillers produces fine dust. Wear an N95 mask, not just a bandana. Keep all these products out of reach of children. Epoxy putty looks like colorful clay, and a curious kid will absolutely need it. Keep wet compounds off finished floors and furniture. Use drop cloths. Spackle and Joint Compound splatter and dry as hard white dots that are surprisingly difficult to remove from wood floors.
For rental apartments specifically, the principle is reversible repairs. You want to leave the apartment as you found it, or better.
Filling screw and anchor holes is the most common task. Spackle for small holes, Joint Compound for larger ones, sand flush, touch-up paint. For chip plaster, use plaster repair compound, not spackle. For sealing around sinks and baths, sanitary silicone applied as a thin bead so it can be removed cleanly later. For gaps around cabinets and skirting, use paintable acrylic caulk. It's water-based, easy to apply, easy to remove, and paint goes right over it. Never use construction adhesive or polyurethane foam on something you might need to remove. Never use silicone on a surface you or the next tenant might want to paint. And never apply sealant over mold. The mold will grow through, and you'll lose your deposit when the landlord sees black spots in the new sealant.
Matching repair products to surfaces. This is where people grab whatever's nearest and hope.
Concrete and masonry need cementitious repair compound. Drywall needs Joint Compound. Plaster needs plaster repair compound. Wood needs wood filler for small holes. Two-part epoxy wood repair for structural damage. Tile needs grout for joints on the same plane. Sealant for corners. Metal needs epoxy putty or metal-specific repair putty. Using the wrong product on the wrong surface isn't just suboptimal, it fails. Joint compound on concrete crumbles. Spackle on wood doesn't adhere. Silicone on plaster peels.
Let's pull all of this together into a specific bill of materials. The compact inventory. What you should always keep.
One small tube of sanitary silicone. One cartridge of paintable acrylic caulk. One small tub of lightweight spackle. One packet of powder joint compound. Two epoxy putty sticks. Keep one in the kitchen drawer and one in the toolbox. Three rolls of PTFE tape. One reusable cartridge cap set. One backer rod assortment for larger gaps. That's the always keep list. It covers about 90% of household repairs.
The deep inventory. What you add for specific projects, or if you're doing serious DIY.
One cartridge of hybrid polymer sealant. One can of low expansion foam. Only if you have an active use case like sealing around a new window or door frame. One tub of wood filler. One tube of grout repair. Thread sealing cord. A set of caulking tools. A sanding sponge assortment. That's the deep list. Most of these are project-specific purchases, not stock items.
The 10 products most likely to rescue a household repair: epoxy putty, hybrid polymer sealant, paintable acrylic caulk, sanitary silicone, lightweight spackle, PTFE tape, low expansion foam, wood filler, grout repair tube, and backer rod.
The products most likely to expire unused: expanding foam, epoxy putty stored in heat, silicone cartridges opened for one job, and spackle tubs left to dry out. Buy these in small formats or only when you need them.
The decision guide. When you're staring at a problem, how do you pick?
Sealing a moving joint, hybrid polymer, or silicone. Filling a static hole, spackle, or joint compound. Reconstructing missing material, epoxy putty, or two-part wood repair. Waterproofing, sanitary silicone, or polyurethane. Cosmetic surface preparation, paintable acrylic caulk. Thread sealing, PTFE tape, gap filling, backer rod plus sealant, or expanding foam if the gap is large and hidden. And if the task is bonding, that's adhesives, which was tier 8, not this episode.
Before we wrap, there's one question that determines whether your repair lasts or fails. How do you know when a crack has stopped moving? If it's still shifting and you fill it with rigid filler, it cracks again. If it's stable and you use flexible sealant, you've used the wrong product and it might look odd. Most people guess wrong. The test is to mark the ends of the crack with a pencil line and check it in a month. If the line is shifted, the crack is still moving. Use sealant. If it hasn't, you can fill it.
That's the kind of patience that saves you doing the same repair twice. Next episode, Tier 10, covers tapes and removable mounting materials. The stuff that lets you hang things without drilling holes, which is the holy grail for renters.
For now, build your compact sealant inventory this weekend. Start with the three products that cover 90% of jobs: paintable acrylic caulk, sanitary silicone, and epoxy putty. Everything else can wait until the project demands it.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1808, while observing from Iceland, astronomer Jean-Baptiste Biot detected unusual spectral lines in starlight passing through the upper atmosphere, which he correctly attributed to a previously unknown chemical element in the mesosphere, though the element itself, sodium, would not be confirmed in the upper atmosphere until the 1930s.
Sodium in the mesosphere.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you've got a repair disaster story or a question for a future tier, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. Build the compact inventory. You'll thank yourself at 2 in the morning when the sink seal fails.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.